Blog Talk Radio.
Moving forward in the Word of God, and it is a great word this morning. It is actually one of my favorite words. We're going to be talking about Paul and Silas and Barnabas and Mark and all the apostles that travel and spread the Word of God. But God is good and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some things don't come but from prayer, fasting, and praise. And today we are giving God praise. Hallelujah. Lord God, I give myself away this morning. Use me for your glory, Lord God. Help me to decrease as you increase, Father. For you are my strength, my redeemer. You are my Father, God, and I am your humble child, ready to sit at your feet and hear your words to hide me in the cliff of the rock as you increase. Lord God, let this word touch hearts, minds, and spirits, that those that hear it will not hear me, but hear you. In the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, my friend, my brother, my absolute Christ Jesus. And it's in his name I pray, believing and trusting in you, Lord, that all things are working for my good. Thank you, Lord God, again for this word. Thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, I rejoice and I'm glad in it, for you gave me a do-over. Lord, I pray that today is better than yesterday and that a word will come from you just for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We got to ask for just for me words. Sometimes we hear words and they're just for us. We want to praise God, but we forget that sometimes we need a word from God as well. You know, we want to do the work, but God is wanting us to get a word from him too. You know, on Friday, we did our New Testament word. Today, we will be in the book of Acts in the New Testament. And it is one of my favorite stories. And I love to tell it, sing a Joe Pace song. If you are got opportunity, it's an old album, but it is a on-time, awesome album called Shake the Foundation. And when we shake the foundation with our praise, watch God work, you know, and it's just glory, hallelujah. This is what we come to do: tear down strongholds, break some chains, bind the devil in Jesus' name. Tonight we got a right to shake the foundation with praise. And when we get to this word this morning, where we see a foundational shape, when we see how God works through Paul and through Silas, where God works through his disciples. But when God says not to do, they didn't do. When God said go, they went. And we have to change our way of thinking and do the same. When God says go, go. When God says do, do. So many times we want to hear and be hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. You know, so many times we want to be that theologian who's preaching and preaching and preaching, but not doing and doing and doing. And so I ask God today, help me to be a doer, to do what you call me to do, to go where you tell me to go, and to preach what you tell me to preach. You know, we got to have that in our heart and in our spirit, because we can't always do us. You know, we are in that me generation, you know, where these children and then a lot of adults have this selfish me mentality. You know, I was on occasion, do look at the internet, and there's this website forum and ask questions. And one of the questions this morning was from brides and brides-to-be. And this young woman got mad at her stepfather for volunteering to walk her down the aisle on her wedding because her biological father at the last minute said he wasn't coming and that he wasn't going to walk her down the aisle. Now, the backstory is that this girl's parents were divorced at 6 when she was 6 years old. So this stepfather has been in her life time she was 6 until she got married at 25. Biological wasn't always there, but stepdad was. And he was actually in the room when the biological called and said, sorry, babe, not going to make the wedding. And so he was being there, being kind, and said, I'll do it. And she gets mad at him and has an uncle walk her down the aisle. So now there's conflict in the family, and she feels that she was in the right to be basically nasty. Who had always, now, understand, she had already clarified that he had been there in her life doing things for her and taking care of her since she was 6. And so she was stunned when the people on the forum said, your parents, your mother, and your stepfather are right to be angry with you. You acted like an entitled spoiled brat because you took out on your stepfather the anger you had at your biological father, when all he was doing was being kind. And the fact is, he should have been the one asked to walk you down the aisle in the first place. You know, we are sometimes so selfish and self-centered when it comes to things in our life that we forget the people who've always been there for us. We got to remember that God is always there for us. He's not a just step in, but he's always there. And sometimes we want to treat God just like this little girl treated her stepfather. When God offered to step in and help us, we get mad at God for wanting to do what's right. So we go with whatever somebody else and then don't understand why we hurt God's feelings and why he's angry with us. We got to do what we need to do for God. And all he asks of us, prayer, praise, love. We got to praise God in everything. Love God always. And pray until something happens. God is wanting some pushers today. He's wanting some pushers out there, kingdom, praying until something happens. We've got to change the course of what's going on in our lives, the course of what's going on in our world. We need to change course. You know, I am dealing with some issues myself, but I'm going to trust God that they will be resolved. I believe that God can do miracles. I believe that foundational shaking can happen and jail cells of despair, jail cells of woe is me, jail cells of why me are going to be opened, because God is tired of us imprisoning ourselves in our minds and in the enemy's darkness, because he wants us to be in the dark. He wants us to have pity. He wants us to feel like we're not worthy, but we are worthy. We are worthy of our Father's love. We are worthy of the peace that comes from him. We are worthy of God's grace and his mercy. And we got to start speaking to our problems and telling our problems, my God is great. My daddy is there. He is not like a biological that don't walk you down the aisle. He is that stepdad that steps in and is always there for us when we need him. All we have to do is appreciate our blessings. And that is what God gave me from the world today, is to appreciate your blessings. Appreciate what you have. And don't worry about what you don't. So let's get started in our word this morning. And as always, for Fridays, we are normally in the Old Testament. And we do 3 days of Old Testament. So we did Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the Old Testament on Friday. And today we will do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the New Testament. And then we'll be back to our normal reading on Monday. So that is what we do on Fridays. Just some church announcements. I am planning on blogging even on vacation next week. I will be going, hopefully God willing. And I know I say God willing because I have had some procedure done that may preclude me from being able to do what I plan on doing next week with my mother and my nieces, and my church. But we'll see. I'm going to put it in God's hands, and then I'll know when I know. So that is a side note, but things will be as usual on this week. So nothing's changing, y'all. We're going to do what we do, and we're going to do it for God. And the word, again, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming this year from the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, New King James Version is what I'm coming out of. And I'd like to say, I normally purchase Bibles from the Christian bookstore online. It's christianbookstores.com. But I'm going to tell you, this Bible is sold out. I have been waiting for a copy of this Bible for a friend so that it has their name on it. And I'm telling you, I have been waiting since March. No, since February for this Bible. And it has been out of stock. I just got a note the other day saying that I should have it by the end of this month, February. So March, April, May, June, 4 months. And I hopefully will get it in the fifth for grace. But I'm going to tell you, if you can find this Bible, get it. If you find it in the bookstore, get it. Because if you try to get it online, you might be able to get it on Amazon, but you can't get it autographed. I went through the Christian bookstore because I tried to patronize the people that are here in America, as well as our Christian brothers and sisters. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard to get this Bible. A lot of the basic life principles Bibles are out there, but the daily Bible, this devotional, you can't hardly find. So I'm saying, if you find it and if you can get it, grab it while you can, because it is hard to get. So I am very grateful to God that I have this Bible If you have it, hold on to it, because it is hard to find, because it is a really, really good daily devotional, as you all know, as you're going through it with me. So let's get your Bibles out. Join me in Acts chapter 15. We're starting in verse 22 through 41 for Friday, and then we'll just continue forward. So just start at Acts chapter 15, verse 22, and you can use your own Bible. Just follow me, because we will be in Acts the whole time for this for the word this morning. So Acts chapter 15, starting at verse 22. And then it says, and then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading both among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Now understand, farewell. And it says this is all, if you go back to the beginning of chapter 15, this is where some Jews came from Jerusalem, and they were telling these folks, you got to be circumcised. You got to be circumcised. And that was not what Peter had been given by God and what Peter had been given by the Holy Spirit. You know, because remember, Peter had the dream about clean and unclean and what you should and shouldn't eat. And God said that he makes things clean. You know, so many times we get caught up in doctrine, you know, this doctrine and that doctrine, and this doctrine says this, and this church says that, and this church does this, and this church does that, that we forget what this is all about. What we are all about is salvation. What we are all about is souls being saved for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are ready when he comes. That's our assignment. Souls being saved. It's not about, you know, women, you need to wear a hat to church and no makeup, and you got to wear a long, ugly dress, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you got to be quiet, and you can't be in the pulpit, and you can't, a whole bunch of you can't. And we forget the you will and the you shall. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We forget that. We're so busy telling folks what they can't do that we forget to tell them what they should do, which is love each other. Love God and love each other. Again, what did it say? That you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. And that's the same as today. Don't put yourself in the position of worshiping idols. We not, you know, yeah, people, when they hear, you know, that the elements are, the Icarus is the blood, we say the blood of Jesus and his body. But we all know that it's not his physical body. And we're not cannibals. And this is not a cannibalistic service for Jesus. This is acknowledging that Jesus gave his blood and his body for us. It's an acknowledgement. We are not physically drinking blood and physically eating somebody's body. It's us acknowledging. It's an acknowledgement that our Savior gave his blood for us and that he gave his life for us as a sacrifice for us, not idolatry, not worshiping at the feet of a statue, but acknowledgement of how good our Father God is, that he loved us enough to give his Son for us, that his Son loved us enough to say, Dad, I'll go for them. So there's no more rams and lambs and doves and anything having to be sacrificed. I will be the last sacrifice on the altar for the people of God. For their sins, I will take them on my back. I will accept the stripes for the healing of their sin and their debt. Jesus paid it all for us. And that is what we have to remember. And then it says things strangled. You know, and I'm wondering if we're not eating strangled things now every time you put a meat in your mouth, because how did it die? It's a question. How did that chicken die? How did that if you eat pork, how did that pig die? How did that beef die? How did that deer die that you are eating? How did that lamb die? Was it strangled? Makes you wonder. You say, And then it goes on to say, and to abstain from sexual immorality. And we are in a generation of anything goes. I have heard terms I have never heard of in my life, and I'm in my 60s. Never heard of such things and terms that are thrown out there for sexual. For sexual, I'm saying it, immorality is what it is. Because God has already given us an edit of what we should do. But we got some crazy going on right now. And the only thing we as men and women of God can do is pray. Pray and pray and pray some more. Pray until something happens. We need a revival. We need a world revival, restoration of values. And one of the biggest values is to love each other. There's so much hate going around that love is kind of thrown in the background. In some cases, love is thrown in the trash. And I'm saying even in churches, we've got to love each other because God loves us even in our mess and our messy lives. He still loves us. And as we continue in verse 30 of chapter 15 of the book of Acts, so when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over the encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren up to the apostles. However, it seemed good for Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. And I have to put a pin there. That was one of the questions in Thursday night's Bible trivia at church. Who was, what was Mark also called? And it is John called Mark. So just throwing that out there. That's why it's important to read your word, because you never know what kind of question you might get on Bible trivia. And it goes on to say, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them at Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the church. And I have a couple of life lessons in what the Bible says about this word in verse 28. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. The early church reached consensus on a critical and sticky issue through respectful discussion, earnest prayer, careful listening, and Bible study. The same formula holds true today. And I say it again, respectful discussion, earnest prayer, careful listening, Bible study, four things. To respect each other, to in your discussion, to be in prayer, to listen, and Bible study. Bible say about whatever the situation is, but be respectful to each other, because there is nothing worse than somebody getting their feelings hurt within the house of God to the point where they don't come back. And that's a soul that is being lost because of foolishness. We got to do what we're supposed to do as men and women of God. No one should be out of the ark of safety because of our mouths and our tongues and how we treat each other. We got to always know that everything we do, God is watching. And I don't want God to be mad at me because I treated someone wrong. As we continue, life lesson. It says life lesson for Acts chapter 15, verse 39. The contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Even mature, godly believers can have big disagreements that lead to a parting of the ways. Yet God used the split between Paul and Barnabas to send out two missionaries of one. The Lord used that breakup and another making up of a different team. So instead of just Barnabas, instead of Saul and Barnabas going out, or Paul and Barnabas going out, it became Barnabas and Mark, as well as Saul and Paul and Silas. Saul is not in this picture. And I keep, you know, we all understand that Paul had previously been Saul, but he is Paul now. He is a man of God. You know, and this is what the Bible says about checking up. So yesterday you read about the Jerusalem Council, but in our case it was a week or so ago, where the apostles defended new believers against those who would enslave them again to works. The council authored letters to the churches asserting that they should not listen to the Judaizers, who insisted that believers should live by all of the Jewish laws. Are y'all catching that? From the first council with Paul and the disciples and are the apostles of Jesus Christ, that we are not Jews, that we do not live by the Jewish laws. Understand that. And it says that they should not listen to the Judaizers, who insisted that believers should live by all of the Jewish laws. The council wrote, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you. Those men went and taught the affected churches the truth. Now, Paul was among those men, and he did something very wise. He said, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. He realized that the Judaizers and other groups would not stop trying to spread their destructive views, and he wanted to make sure that the churches they planted were still honoring Christ, because so many times doctrine gets in the way of honoring Christ. That is what we are to do as Christians. What does Christian mean? To be Christian is to follow Christ. Understand that we also have a responsibility toward those we lead to the Lord. We must make sure they have what they need to follow the Lord in obedience. Though we can't always be the ones who daily teach them to walk with Christ, we should be concerned for their welfare as Paul was. Paul wrote, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again upon until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now." And that's from Galatians, which we will get to, Galatians 4:19-20. Paul was involved in their spiritual growth, even though he couldn't be present with them in person. Rather, he made sure they had everything they needed through his letters, which now comprise half of the New Testament, and through the capable, godly representatives he sent to check on them. And Paul was always checking on the churches that he established. And it goes on to say, and what about those you've led to the Lord? When was the last time you checked to make sure they weren't being led away by false doctrine, but with serving the Lord in love and obedience? It may not always be possible to be with them, but as much as you're able, keep track of those you've introduced to the Savior. No doubt you'll be blessed by the way they grow in the Lord. And that is so true. We got to just keep in touch with each other. Don't let anybody fall through their cracks because we forgot that we were the ones that led them to Christ. The Lord is watching everything we do, and what he wants from us is praise and prayer. He wants us to know that we belong to him and that he loves us so much. God loves you. God hears our prayers and our praise. God is ready to shake some foundations out there on our behalf. Please join me in Acts chapter 16. And then it said, and then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who beloved, but his father was Greek. She was a believer. She believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Now understand, he didn't have to circumcise him by what Peter and the council had said, but he did it knowing that if he didn't, it would cause trouble for Timothy as he went out to spread the word, because he was of Greek and Jewish descent. So Paul understood what was going to happen because he knew his folks, because he was one of them. Remember, don't get it twisted. Paul started out as a Pharisee, a theologian, all about the book. No changes, no nothing, no salvation. Just you go by the law, and that's it. You must be this. You must do that. You must. And no belief in the Savior. But he understood who he was dealing with, and so he had to come about it a different way for Timothy. And said, and as they went through the city, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders of Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia and came down to Taurus and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel there. Therefore, sailing from Taurus, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of the Macedonia, a colony. And we were there. We were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia, man, that's Timothy's mom, heard that she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. And again, another trivial question. What color materials did Lydia sell? And she sold purple. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now, understanding, there are those that are prophet liars who are fortune tellers, claiming to be prophets. So you have to be very, very careful who you allow to lay hands on you, who you allow to give you a prophetic word, because sometimes they are nothing but a fortune teller. They have the spirit of divination, which is not of God. And it goes on to say, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. And at first reading, you're like, well, that's good that she's speaking highly of you. But understanding, she was not doing it for the right purpose. She was doing it for money. And when somebody says they got a word, you only got to give them $100.24, $24.95, or you can give $124.95 or $1,024.95, but you got to give the $24.95. Understand, that is not a prophetic word. That is a fortune teller. Because it is for profit. If you want to bless a prophet, that's one thing. But when you have to demand money to get a prophetic word, that's not of God. And again, this young lady, a fortune teller, and not a woman of God or a prophetess. As we continue, it says, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. So they're going to pull out the race card on that one. Our ethnicity card, I guess. Continued, Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Says, and then the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison and commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, come on, y'all, say with me, at about midnight. One more time. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, not tomorrow, not next week, but immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Hallelujah. Can y'all say it with me? The Lord broke every chain. And it goes on to say, and the keeper of the prison awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour at midnight and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Hallelujah. Wasn't no wait until tomorrow stuff. It was some immediate things going on. And that is what we have to do. When God said move, move immediately. And he says, and now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officer saying, let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and set us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Done in secret. Gonna beat them up and all out in public, but wanted to let them go in secret. You know, understand, God sees everything that we do. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows our spirit. And let's just kind of go back into our word for this morning, chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, life lessons. And it says this, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Paul and his companions had developed a plan for evangelism that they tried to follow, but they never let their plans get in the way of the Spirit's leading. God wants our planning and his guidance to go hand in hand. God does not want us out there doing anything until we hear from the Holy Spirit. You know, whatever your project may be, don't move forward until you hear from God. And it may be at intervals. You may hear a name. Then you may hear whatever the next phase may be. And then you may hear the last phase, or third phase, or fourth phase, or fifth phase. Whatever phase you in, do what does, says the Lord, through the Holy Spirit. Don't do you, because when you do you, you mess up every time. And I'm speaking again. I can't speak for anybody else. I can only speak for myself. When I've gone gung-ho without consulting God, it does not work. But I have to stop and wait on the Lord. And so I say to you today, wait on the Lord. Keep praying until something happens and knowing that God will answer your prayers. I'm believing God for miracles, signs, and wonders in my life. I am believing God for miracles, signs, and wonders. And when you say it to yourself and you believe it in your heart, Lord, I am believing you for signs and wonders. I'm believing you for miracles, for signs and wonders. Because when you can see it, touch it, feel it, people want to believe what you're saying. Hallelujah. I want God to get the glory in everything I do. And that comes from, again, praying and praying. praising God, even in the midst of your trouble. Don't forget to give God glory. Give God praise in the midst. To say, Lord, I trust in you that everything is going to work for my good according to your purpose for my life. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God this morning for the miracles. I'm thanking God this morning for the signs and wonders, because he will get the glory. Acts 16 and 14, the Lord opened our hearts to hear the things spoken by Paul. No one will respond to the gospel message unless God goes before us and sends his spirit to do a work in human hearts. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless he has been granted to him by my Father. And we're going to go to that word real quick. We're going to John chapter 6, verse 65. So please join me real quick in John chapter 6, verse 65. John 6 and 65. And we may read above it. Yeah, we're going to read above it, so it's in context. And it says this, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And this is where this, we're going to go back up to verse 60. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And let's go back to the saying. Excuse me. And it says, this is verse 53 of chapter 6. And it says, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And you're thinking, that's some vampire stuff. What is Jesus talking about? You know, eating his, you know, we just talked about the blood of Jesus earlier as we began the show this morning. But the fact of the matter is, as Jesus continues, as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. He who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogues as he taught in Capernaum. And then that's what it says. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is hard saying. Who can understand it? And then as we continue, it says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. So now if somebody's telling you that you got to eat their body and drink their blood, it sounds some crazy stuff, don't it? But if you go back to others, and then it says this in verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And then, of course, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? But understanding, he was saying, I'm going to give my body. I'm going to give myself for you to have eternal life. I'm going to die on this cross. My body's going to be sacrificed for you. My blood will drip for you. I'm giving myself for you as a sacrifice. Eat of me, drink of me, and never forget me. That's what he's saying. Don't forget, I give myself away for you. I am giving myself for you. My body, my blood, I give for you. Taste and see, I am good. And as we continue in our 16th chapter word, we're talking about at about midnight. Just at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Paul and Silas had been attacked by mob, beaten by soldiers, thrown in stocks, and shoved into a dark, high-security prison. They was put in sick, y'all. How did they react? With prayer and singing. Only the Spirit can produce such unexpected joy. And I say this, I can tell you as someone who's worked in the prison system, if prisoners in a prison all started singing and praising God, you would have some guards scared to death. You would have some folks scared to death because they wouldn't know what to do. Like what happened with the jailer with Paul and Silas. There are some guards and some folks that are in power that need salvation. I can tell you that. That need some Jesus in their life. That need some foundational shaking going on. I would love to have a prison revival where the prisoners got saved in a prison. And I can tell you one thing. Watch God work in the prison system all over the world if the prisoners got saved and start praising and praying and giving God what God deserves. Watch God work. I tell you that. Whew, it's an exciting to think about it. And as we continue, this is a life example from Dr. Stanley in our last word for this morning. As exhausted as he felt, Silas could not sleep. The stale air in the inner cell made breathing difficult, and the torment of his wounds kept him from getting much-needed sleep. Would he or Paul live to see another day? Silas did not know. Yet Silas neither meditated on injustice nor despaired of his situation. Instead, filled his heart. When Silas and Paul lifted their voices in song, a violent earthquake shook the prison. Soon they led the jailer and his entire family to the Lord. You have a song to sing as well. Though your situation may feel overwhelming, are you willing to trust God in your circumstances? Do you believe that no problem is beyond his power? As you allow God to conduct the symphony of your life, you will see him shaking your own prisons. Will you, like Silas, lift up your voice to herald the coming victory? Hallelujah. We got victory today, family. We got victory in Jesus. We got victory in the Lord, giving God honor, glory, and hallelujah praise today. I am thankful. I am grateful, and I am truly blessed to be a child of the Most High God, and I thank him this morning for all that he does in my life. And before we get out of here, a few words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Because we were an early show on Friday, I was not able to give a word from our sister in Christ. But Friday's word just fit in today's lesson. And I'm just so grateful to my sister. And it's this, good morning, don't be discouraged. If things you pray for haven't happened yet, delay does not mean denial. Whew, that's a word I needed, y'all. I needed that word myself because there's some things that I've been praying for that have not happened yet, but I'm still trusting God for their coming. Hallelujah. I'm still trusting God for those miracles. Thank you, Jesus. And as we continue, and it says, keep trusting God and have a fruitful Friday. And I am grateful to God I did have a fruitful Friday. My test came back good from my surgery, and I am grateful. And as we continue, good morning. This is yesterday's word. I pray that whatever is overwhelming you right now be removed. We got to tell those mountains, get out of the way. Say it with me. Mountains, get out of my way. Get out of my way, because I have faith that I'm moving you today. Woo, hallelujah. I pray that whatever is overwhelming you right now be removed. I speak the peace of God to comfort your heart and mind in Jesus' name. Amen. And she said, have a serene Saturday. And, you know, I can honestly say I hung out with my grandkids yesterday and got to talk to my oldest on the phone, on FaceTime. It was nice to have time with them yesterday. You know, it was good, and I am grateful. And then it goes on to say today. It's a scripture, and it's Matthew 7:7. What an awesome word of God. And it says, ask, and it shall be given. To you seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. Have a blessed Sunday, family. And again, as I go with the word that God gave me this morning for our word, God hears our prayers and praise. God hears your prayers and your praise. Find your song today. Find your song today. Not anybody else's song. Find your song today. Know that you have victory in Jesus. You got the victory. And I'm grateful to God that he has given us a victorious life, because we are his and he is ours. Praise and prayer, y'all. Praise and prayer. Watch God work. Our prayers and praise, whichever PP you want to come from, prayer and praise, praise and prayer. Whatever it may be, God's got you covered. But you belong to him, and he belongs to you. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be there for you. All you have to do is believe. Thanking God for you this morning. Thanking God for his gloriousness. Thanking God for giving us victory in Jesus. But we have the victory. And as we move forward this morning, I say to you, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that God got you covered. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap, for we have the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. goddess. Hallelujah. I got the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. I am filled up this morning, y'all. I just say to you today, it is a wrap because we have the victory. We got the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your blood. Thank you, Father God, for your grace. Thank you, Father God, for your mercy toward each and every one of us. God knows we all have gone through, but we know we have victory in Jesus. I just had to give a praise today, a praise and worship before we ended this morning. Hallelujah. So I thank God for each of you staying for some praise and worship with me this morning. For we worship our Father God. We worship the Savior Jesus Christ, and we do it in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Whatever your mountain is today, you have the faith to tell it to move because you got the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Lord, for everything. For we call on the name of Jesus this morning that everything we are going through, God has already has a plan for our lives. So I thank you again this morning for your prayers, for your praise, for we give it all to God. Hallelujah. And thank you so much. Be blessed. Be blessed, be blessed in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day, family. It is a wrap because what? We got the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day. And thank you again for staying with me this morning as we have the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap.